Today we're going to be looking at one verse in the book of Job. A familiar verse, Job 13 and verse 15. And our message is entitled, In Difficult Times, Trust in God. Trust in God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you. We thank you for the worship that we had this morning, where we found time to lift up the name of Jesus, to sing about the names of Jesus, to talk about the work of Jesus in our lives. A Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. A Jesus in whom paid for them all. A Jesus to whom we can call on. A Jesus who loves us and cares for us. A Jesus who wants us to know him and his Father. A Jesus who gave us, along with the Father, the Holy Spirit so that we could connect and praise and worship the Father like we did this morning. I ask that you would give us listening ears and hearts willing to hear what you say and what you have for us in your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In difficult times, trust in God. Now, if you've read the book of Job, I'm still confused why people call him patient. That boy didn't have no patience. I don't know what you're talking about. Patient Job. Have you read the book of Job? He was impatient. But he was a man. Even in his impatience and sometimes his impetuous desire to speak his mind, there's one thing we can say about Job. In difficult times, Job trusted in God. In difficult times, Job trusted in God. In this message, in difficult times, trust in God. We want you to see the heartbeat of this man of God, Job. The book of Job tackles one of the oldest questions posed by mankind. Why do godly people suffer? You know you've asked the question every now and then yourself. You've heard it before. After Satan, with God's permission, launched a series of calamities resulting in the fall of Job's life from prosperity to poverty and ill health, his friends stopped by, supposedly to comfort him, the church police. But soon a series of debates began in which they told him that his suffering was the result of his own sins. Now, Job was very saddened and lamented his loss of his family, his children, 10 children. His servants were killed. There was calamity and crushed the house that his sons had. He was hurt. He was hurt bad. And he even questioned his misfortune. And after 7 days of silent grief, even with his wife saying, you just go ahead and curse God and die. Here his friends come with a series of lengthy debates. These friends were shocked when they saw him in his wretched condition. And so they began to say, it must have been something you did, Job. You must have sinned, Job. That's got to be the reason. Job won't have none of that. And yes, he was impatient with his friends because what they were saying simply was not true. And God, he said that in the end and told Job to pray for them. You see, they kept believing that it was sin that he had done. They were erroneous because they considered that only sinners suffer like that, while the righteous are always blessed. They determined to discover Job's sin. They kept picking at him, chastising him for his supposed crime, correcting him with their so-called counsel. Exasperated, if you remember the story, Job finally reacts to their accusations with this well-known verse that we're looking at today in Job 13 and verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him or have hope in him. So today we're going to be looking at an example of faith behind that declaration, a faith that is not dependent on gifts or blessings or anything else. And we'll look at what the scriptures reveal about believers going through difficult times while maintaining their hope in Christ and trusting God to the very end. Now, if you read King James, which is a very good version, by the way, don't get me wrong, but you have to think about it sometimes in some of the Old Testament scriptures. So what I asked the booth was to let us see a paraphrase of it in the Message version. It's a paraphrase. It puts it in today's language. It's a paraphrase. So let's pay attention to what this conversation, the context of this verse in Job 13, verse 15 says. Now, prior to this conversation, he told his friends about their counsel, y'all are like doctors that don't know nothing. And he basically wants them to just shut up. He's tired of listening to him. Look what he says. So hold your tongue while I have my say. Now remember, from about the third chapter up to now, all they've been doing is debating with Job about his sin. He's headed up to here with it. So he's telling them, be quiet. Hold your tongue while I have my say. Then I'll take whatever I have coming to me. Why do I go out on a limb like this and take my life in my hands? In other words, I'm willing, after all your accusations, to go to God himself and have him declare me innocent. I'm willing to go to God even if I die. Even if I die in the process, I know I have been walking right. I've been living right. Why y'all trying to tell me the only reason that I'm suffering is because of sin? Y'all talking yang yang. No. Because even if he killed me, I'll keep on hoping. So I'll defend my innocence to the very end. That's verse 15. Just wait. And this is going to work out for the best. What was the best? My salvation. He got some strong faith. If I were guilt-stricken, do you think I'll be doing this? laying myself on the line before God? In Job 1 and 5, it tells us how Job got up early in the morning to offer burnt sacrifices, saying that his family may have sinned and cursed God. And he did this continually, which tells me that Job had a personal relationship with God. That's why God was able to brag to Satan about my servant Job. Satan said, oh, look, the only reason he's praising you and living for you is because you give him everything. He's the richest man in the earth. That's the only reason. Tell you what, let me have at him. He'll curse you to your face. And Satan had to hit him twice, and Job was in bad shape. He said, you better pay attention to me. I've been living right. What I'm telling you, listen carefully with both your ears. Now that I've laid out my defense, which I'm going to put before my God, who I have faith in, I'm sure I'll be acquitted. Then he says, can anyone prove charges against me? Now, he didn't know this, but Satan had a charge against him. Satan said Job would curse God if he took all that blessing away from him. That was the accusation from Satan. He didn't know that, but he said, can anyone prove charges against me? He says, I've said my piece. I rest my case. Now we have some context about this message and that verse. The message is entitled, In Difficult Times, Trust God. And in this verse 15 of Job chapter 13, there are 3 points. Job recognized that God puts us to the test. Job recognized that God puts us to the test. Another thing about this verse in point number 2, Job remained faithful in the midst of adversities. Job remained faithful in the midst of adversities. And lastly, our third point, Job pledged to remain faithful until the end. Job pledged to remain faithful until the end. In difficult times, trust in God. First point, Job recognized that God puts us to the test. In verse 15, the first part of that verse says, Though he slay me. Like Job's friends, the disciples of Jesus Christ, they also thought that suffering was a result of sin in a person's life. If you remember John chapter 9, verse 2, when they asked Jesus whether the man who had been born blind was in that condition due to his parents' sin or the sin of that man. And Jesus, he had to shake his head. No, this one is because God's going to get some glory. Why we always want to beat on ourselves or others as soon as we see somebody going through something? Y'all must have sinned. I cringe when parents do that to their children? Are you teaching them the right lesson? Yes, God does judge people for sin. You don't believe that? Go ask the folks in Sodom and Gomorrah. But not every time that someone suffers is it because sin. And Jesus, if you remember in our series on the in Luke, the Son of Man, Jesus had addressed that because they had talked about a tower that had fallen down. And Jesus said, no, that wasn't sin. That wasn't because of sin. In difficult times doesn't mean that it's always because of sin. In his debates with his friends, he reminded them how there's always been violence and tragedy in the earth. In Job 24, he says this, since times are not hidden from the Almighty, why do those who know him, see not his days? He was referring to the fact that the things he was going to describe was about those who know him, believers. In verse 6 of chapter 24, he says, they gather their fodder in the field and glean in the vineyard of the wicked. In other words, he's addressing the fact that even righteous people go through hard times. He was listening to them, his friends, and knowing, no, fellas, even in difficult times, we got to take it to the bottom line that God allows these things for the righteous and the unrighteous. Quit trying to tell me that the reason I'm suffering is because of some sin that I committed. Stop being church police. You don't even have the right charge. But you see, God has wise purpose, saints, in our suffering. God wants to show us his manifold wisdom, according to Ephesians 2 and verse 10. He wants that the trial of our faith to work patience. He wants to bring us out of the fire to be like pure gold with all of the dross burned up. More pure than it was before the trials began. With the impurities that are found in our lives consumed, he wants to reveal our real and true character. Yes, God does test us, or he allows us to go through tests to make us and to help us in our patience to shine like pure gold. Though he slay me, even if he slays me, even if he allows it, God knows that it's still at the bottom line, it's out of God. God is the one who's in control. Whether he allows Satan or God cooks it up himself, it's always God who's in control. Now, he knew that these things were allowed by God. He knew that God was the ultimate one in control. And he only focused on God. He never blamed those who killed his servants. He didn't blame the weather conditions, the wind that collapsed the house on his children and killed them all. He didn't blame anybody, but he acknowledged that it was all part of God's plan. You hear me? I don't like being sick. I know one day I'm not going to come out the hospital. I walked out so far. All right. When I was born, they carried me out. I've been walking out. One of these days, I ain't walking out. Same goes for you. But in that process, am I going to spend all my time blaming somebody else? No. Daniel's three friends, they were threatened to be thrown into the fire if they did not bow. And when the music started to bow to this god that had been erected and joined with the praise party of a false god, they said no. They said that even if he does not, does it sound familiar? Even if he does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you set up there in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 18. They had the same mindset, the same kind of strong faith. Whether we live or whether we die, our faith in God remains intact. Even if God does not deliver us this time, we will not bow down to you. Even if God does not release me from the hospital the next time that I go in for the last time, that's all right. My faith still won't be shaken. In essence, this is what Job, like those three Hebrew boys, was saying. He knew that God was behind it all. Yes, Satan was allowed to do this after that heavenly discussion between God and Satan, in which Satan said, look, The only reason he's treating you the way he is and praising you the way he is because you give him everything. Let me have at him. God allowed it because God knew one thing. My servant will not fail me. He knew that God was behind it all, and even if he gave him one final blow and took away his life, he still said, even if he was dead, did you read that in that verse? Even if you slay me. Now, how can a dead person trust somebody? Faith. He believed that he was going to come back in the resurrection. He had faith. Even if God allows me to die through it all, my faith will not waver. You see, Satan loses on what he thought was certain, didn't he? Satan, who wanted skin for skin, he said, stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones. He will surely curse you to your face. Old Slewfoot, second chapter of Job. You know, Satan must have been crying like a baby, because the Bible tells us that in all these things, Job sinned not. He sinned not, and he did not curse God. When we face difficult times, Job did not spend his time looking at his circumstances. He continually focused on God. He kept going back to God. When we go through difficult times, I'm just going to encourage you. You're going to get sick to your stomach if all you and I do is look at our circumstances. We got to keep trusting in God. And Job, by continuing to trust and depend on the Lord, he had proven Satan wrong. And he had proven God right. And we know the end of the story. He got double blessed. He got another family, some more children. And he had twice what he had before financially. Satan, he just messed up, man. Because when a person going through difficult times decides to put their hope and trust in God instead of looking at everybody in their circumstances, they're in good hands with a God who cares deeply for us. Job's attitude towards God was that he had access to God. He wasn't worried about what his friends were saying. He knew he had access to God because he had burnt sacrifices continually for his children. He knew he was a sinner. But he knew that since the time of Adam and Abel that you make the burnt sacrifices. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. He believed God's word. He believed what God had said and told Adam. And he practiced it. So when they kept saying, you just did something wrong, Job. He said, no. See, I've been walking with him. And you can say that when you're going through trouble. Wait a minute. Hold up. Y'all telling me I'm sick because of this and I'm sick because of that? How about I'm just sick? People get sick. It happens. Ever since the fall of man, we get sick. There's some preachers that will tell you all you got to do is buy this cloth. All your sickness will go away. Really? It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Who makes that appointment? God. Don't have time for no silly preachers. Don't have time for people stepping outside the doctrines of God like his friends did. And by the way, in the end, we found that God was upset with them too. What y'all saying about me? What you mean is my, what? Uh-uh. Job, go pray for your friends. Because they were wrong. Oh, by the way, Job, I got a couple of bones to pick with you too. Until Job finally figured out he opened his mouth too many times. He had a commitment to God. When we're going through difficult times, pray that you can have the kind of commitment that Job had to God. Because he blocked out all the other stuff and he concentrated his trust in God. He concentrated his trust in God, though he slay me. Though he slay me. Though he slay me. Think about that. Do you know the condition he was in? He was sitting on ashes, rubbing stuff on himself, rubbing ashes on his boils and his sores. If you were to see Job, you would probably turn your eyes from him, as messed up as he was. He was a mess. We know that his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? You look bad, son. I don't want to see you suffer like that. And I'm reminded again of the my father, the last time that I saw him, he was, as my daughters left, he had tears in his eyes because I believe he knew that he would not see them again. But he wasn't complaining about his pain, and he wasn't complaining about his condition. But he was sad because he did not believe, in my opinion, he was going to see his grandchildren again. When you're going through difficult times, put your trust in God and not in your circumstances. That's the kind of commitment that God is looking for. That's the kind of commitment that he found from Job's lips when he refused to curse God like Satan said he would. That's the kind of commitment. Look at verse 16 of Job chapter 13. He says, he shall also be my salvation. He's going to deliver me. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, he said, even though he slay me, but listen, he trusted in God. Even though you slay me, I got news for you, friends. He shall also be my salvation. Talking about God. He's going to deliver me. Did you hear that? Then he goes on to say, who is he that will plead for me? If I hold my tongue, I'll die. But only do not do two things unto me. He's talking to God there in verses 17 through 21. He says, I will not hide myself from thee. I'm not going to be like Adam. I'm going to come and join up with you, God, because I know you personally. But I do ask you this, withdraw thine hand far from me and let not my dread make me afraid. He wanted his circumstances not to be the reason why he couldn't go to God. He didn't want his circumstances and illness the reason why he couldn't go to God. He wanted to go to him. But you did ask God, can you ease up on me a little bit? Did you know it's okay to ask that? We don't take some kind of drug to make ourselves impervious to pain. We know that Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had some issues because he knew what was coming. Psalms 23 and verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's difficult times, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I got a personal relationship with you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The word of God is going to comfort me through this difficult time. Proverbs 14 and verse 32 says this, when calamity comes, the wicked are brought down, but even in death, the righteous, even in death, but even in death, the righteous seek refuge in God. Which takes us to our next point. Job remained faithful in the midst of adversities. Job remained faithful in the midst of adversities. Jesus guaranteed us and his followers that we're going to face hard times. He said that in John 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Job, in point two, remained faithful in the midst of adversities. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The word here means properly to wait or to stay or delay. It conveys the idea of waiting on one with an expectation of aid or help. So here it means to hope. The sense here is that his expectation, his trust, or his hope is in God and in God alone. Yet will I trust him. Let's get real. Life is unpredictable. Someone, even in this church, someone under the sound of my voice, is going to come home one day and find out that their loved one, whether in the house or outside the house, has a stroke. Some accident. Something that's going to disrupt their lives. Let's get real. Can we say, yet will I trust them? I say yes. Many of us will want to trust God when times are good. It's a whole lot easier to do it then, right? But when times start to get difficult, did you know it's even more important to trust God then? It's easy to trust God when things are good. But it's more important to trust God when things are not so good. God has an unchanging character that we can count on. It's a firm foundation. So when things get unsteady and wobbly in our lives, let me hold on and step on the one foundation I know I can trust in. Life can be going real smooth. Everything's going great. All of a sudden, trouble lands on your doorstep, knocks on your door. Somebody gets sick. Someone loses their job. Some family member betrays and turns against you. Everything that we felt secure in is not there now. It's shaky. It's uncertain. How you trust God in those moments when you don't always see a resolution. To trust, my friends, is to believe in the reliability, in the truth, and the ability and the strength of something. So do I trust man? No way. I don't even trust my doctor sometimes. But I do trust in God. God does not lie. He keeps his promises. He actually knows what's really wrong with me. So I'm going to trust God when I'm in those difficult circumstances. And that's what Job learned to do in our second point. If you trust somebody, you feel comfortable with them. You feel able to honestly talk about your feelings. God can, he didn't have a problem you and not saying something to him. I don't feel good, God. It's hard for me, God. This is more than I can bear. Guess what? God can bear it. Because he loves you, we can show our love for him by trusting in him. It's okay to go to him. It's okay to pray and ask God for help. Job did. We read that. Well, I read that. Can you lay off a little bit, God? This is getting hard. And these friends of mine, they ain't helping me. I need your help. But you see, Job pledged to remain faithful until the end, which is our third point. Job pledged to remain faithful until the end. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Last part of that verse. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. He says, I'm going to maintain my own ways. He says, I'm so conscious of my innocence before God that I fear not being able to go up and to defend myself from your slanders, even in the presence of my God. I hear what you're telling me. I don't believe you. I'm trusting in God. And I'm willing to go up to the courtroom before him and lay out my case because I know that he's going to find me innocent. And why? Because I have always continually walked with him. Because I walk with him and I know that he loves me, I know he's going to be concerned about me. I'm not afraid of God. He's my friend. If I cast my cares upon him, he will care for me. Later for you clowns. I'm going to continue to live the way I've been living, boldly. I'm not going to give up on God. I'm not going to do like some of them kings did when God said, you know you didn't do right, and I'm going to have to touch you. And some of the kings, they got upset with God. Hezekiah was different. He did something you weren't supposed to do. He showed the enemies all God's stuff and then claimed it was his. He showed the people of Babylon and all those folks how much gold was in God's house, how much gold he had in his house. And they had that gleam in their eye. We got to pay attention to this boy. He got something over there. And they came back and got it. When Isaiah came and said, you know, you didn't do right, Hezekiah. So here's what God's saying. Get your affairs in order, because you're going to die. You're going to die. But O Hezekiah, who was a great king, a believer, he said, oh, wait a minute. He turned to the wall. God, you know what I've done for you. You know how I've been walking continuously with you. You remember what I've done for you on your behalf. Oh, don't let me die right now, God. He had the holy boldness because of his walk that he could go to God, look at the wall, despite what Isaiah said, and say, let me live. God gave an answer back to Isaiah, who was on his way out the door, down the hall. He said, go back, tell him. You got 15 more years. You got 15 more years. Now, of course, the sad part is in the 15 years, he had a terrible son named Manasseh, who he just messed up big time. One of the worst kings ever. He did get saved. But he said in verse 16, John 13, indeed, this will turn out for my deliverance. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Job believes that by coming before God, he will be finally proven innocent of these false charges from his friends. Indeed, he says, this will turn out for my deliverance, for no godless man would dare come before God. But I'm not a godless man. I have been walking with him. I boldly reject your accusations that this is going on because of some sin that I did. No, bad things happen to good people too. And just to prove it, I'm going to defend myself before God. and let him know, I've been walking with you. I know you didn't do this because of some sin. Declare me innocent before these dumb friends of mine. Job pledged to remain faithful until the end. Look at Jesus, who pledged to remain faithful to the end. We see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to his trusted disciples. He told them, stay here and keep watch on the night he was betrayed. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, Daddy, he said, everything is possible for you. This is your plan. You set this up from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world. Take this cup from me. Y-E-T, yet. That's what Jesus said. He said, yet, not what I will, but what you will. God, if you don't take this cup, I'm still. If you don't take this cup of suffering from me, I will still go to the cross. And I will drink every last drop of that cup. Take on all the sins of mankind in obedience to you. Because I will always obey you. I'm trusting in my Father. His plan is my plan. He pledged to remain faithful to his Father. Jesus himself felt overwhelmed at what was before him and went straight to his Father to remain faithful to the end. In conclusion, I'd like to remind you that God is completely trustworthy, but he doesn't ask you to trust him blindly. He wants you to learn to trust him. That's why those many trials we go through, every time we go through a trial, we get just a little bit stronger, a little bit closer, a little more loving towards him and understanding towards him, so that when we go through difficult times, we still learn to trust him. You can get to know God through some personal time with him. That's why we got to stay in his word, stay in fellowship with the saints to encourage us in those difficult times, so that we can explore the various aspects of his trustworthiness, especially when we read in the scriptures. In the book of Romans, Paul writes to believers about this present life. He reminds them that this life will have some hardships, and that our bodies, they'll fail, but God, in spite of that, is still working out for our good. Romans 8:28, you remember that verse? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his, capital H, his purpose. In times of doubt, let us remember God's promises. Remember who he has always been. Remember his character. Even in doubt and uncertainty, which absolutely will come to each one of us, none of us is perfect. But if we keep going and walking with him, he will continually show himself to be trustworthy. God is not neglecting us. If he seems silent, and sometimes he might seem silent, just remember his promises, that he's always hearing your prayers. In Psalms 34 and verse 17, we'll close with this. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. When the righteous cry out, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. Even if part of that deliverance is my death, to remove me from the pain, he still is helping me through my trouble and taking me home. Someday he will take me home. I ain't got no problem with that. Because I will not end up in a crisis hell. Because I know him. Because I trusted him to be my Savior. As we close, let us pray. God, we know that you love us and you care about your people. We know that these are difficult times that we're living in, but we also know that you know all about it. And the great thing, God, is that we have scripture to remind us of your love and care for us. So even though we go through difficult times, knowing that sometimes you will allow us to go through these trials and tribulations to shore us up, to improve us, to teach us patience, to help us learn to trust you more, we know that you still are there and that you will listen to us. You will hear us when we ask you, when we talk to you. And we know that we can trust in you in these difficult times. Not because of anything, but who you are. You are the foundation through which we stand on. And we thank you and we love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, none of what I say is going to apply to you. None of what I said will work for you. You must be like Job and have a personal relationship in order to be able to call and trust on God to help you through difficult times. Other than that, there's not much hope for you. But if you know Jesus Christ, there is hope for you today. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Confess them to him. Ask Jesus to come into your life and save you from that sin. And then believe in him for eternal life, for he promises that. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you by faith ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, ask him to forgive you of your sins and believe that his work on the cross paid for all your sins and that you're going to live for him, you will be saved and you will not spend eternity in a Christless hell. Amen.